Donald Trump speaking at a press conference that went an hour straight. He started, what would you say, Ryan? Maybe gave like 8 minutes of commentary.
It was about 2:07, so I would say he did maybe 8 to 10 minutes of, you know, I'd say in quotations, prepared remarks
from him. And then he said, all right, any of you have any questions? And 50 minutes later, he just wrapped.
Yeah. Yeah. So obviously, no note cards. He wasn't calling on reporters who had been pre-approved. I did think the questions that were asked were good questions. And he got a chance to answer all of them.
I have appreciated the fact that Donald Trump is always willing to talk to the press, and he has his Trumpian way. It's, people will say that it's his ego that drives him to do that. Well, I don't think that the accusation that Kamala Harris has no ego is really a fair comparison here. They're both people who have big egos, and what Donald Trump does is he goes to the media and says, let me have it. And what Kamala Harris does is goes in the back room to the media and say, take care of it for me. And that's the status quo so far. There have been many criticisms mounting from people, of course, from the Trump campaign and also from within the press. Specifically, we see a lot of it from people on Fox News talking about Kamala Harris. She hasn't answered a single question, a single unscripted moment since she has announced her candidacy or since she was coronated as the nominee for the Democratic Party. She has not had to answer any tough questions since she's been the person. And there's been criticisms of that surrounding her. I think that they've gotten a little more elevated as the Republican Party, the RNC, Donald Trump, and some Republican pundits have amplified those criticisms of Kamala Harris. I think it's gotten loud enough that the left is having to do something about that. And what is a major power move on Donald Trump's part to be at Mar-a-Lago, to set up this press conference, and to say some things, and then go, ask me anything. And, I mean, these reporters that were there, in my opinion, there were multiple questions that were asked to put the ball on the tee for Donald Trump to sink his own ship, to respond in a way that is exactly what Kamala Harris needs to have happen. And it's not exactly the stupidest strategy for Kamala Harris to continue with scripted appearances, if she's allowed to get away with it, and wait for Donald Trump to stick his foot in his mouth so that at the next scripted appearance, she can cite something that Donald Trump said when he was, you know, firing off answers to reporters that in some cases hate his guts. I understand that strategy. That is a strategy that is 100% centered around power seeking, not about actually representing you in the office that she wants to win from your vote. I actually thought that Donald Trump did an A-plus job at this press conference. The only thing I would criticize about it is maybe if you're going to host the press conference at your actual house and home in Mar-a-Lago, make it be in a room where you can hear the questions coming from the reporters. There was actually a time where the question from where we were, obviously we're consuming everything through audio channels and microphones and so on and so forth, but we actually got the off-air alert because the questions were so quiet. So if they're passing around microphones, generally speaking, how this works is questions will be asked on a microphone. They'll have two or three microphones that'll get handed around. And then you speak in the microphone and then the person can hear the answer or the question and provide the answer. If that system isn't set up in a functional way, it would be hard for the person who's answering the questions. That I think that is going to be the takeaway from the left. The left-leaning media, they're not going to be talking about the policies that Donald Trump talked about or the policies that Donald Trump criticized about Kamala Harris. They're going to say that he's a 78-year-old man that can't hear.
Well, that, I mean, you also, though, if they start to make that comparison, because he has had some audio trouble at the last couple of conferences.
Yeah.
The National Black Journalists Association was the same deal. So I don't know if, and look, I think this is a question worth asking. I don't know that this is the answer to that question, but he just got shot in the ear. You know, is that affecting his hearing at all?
I
don't know.
That's a really good question. I don't know how much, I don't know what that would sound like.
I don't either.
And I think, I mean, I haven't heard anything that it affects his hearing, but.
Yeah, I don't know. But I thought the same thing as you. He did address that Kamala is not talking to the media, but he addressed it in a bigger way by just doing the news conference itself and going as long as he wanted to go. You know, the reporters will go forever. So he went over an hour to make that point. Fox News, is right afterwards making that same point. They're saying, look, he just answered questions for an hour, completely unscripted. Where's Kamala Harris? That is the point that needs to be made right now, because she is so weak on that on those grounds.
Doug says on our YouTube page, we had a lot of lively conversation going with people who love him and hate him right there on the Annie Fry YouTube channel while we were listening for that hour. And Doug said, I hated his unscripted, meandering opening. His Q&A with the press was the better portion of that. And I think to Doug's point on that issue, that there are certainly tendencies that Donald Trump has that are harder to listen to. But that double-edged sword is Donald Trump is willing to go up there and not read off of a teleprompter in a super polished. I mean, it's like if you had who's your favorite actress? Who's the most beautiful? Who's your favorite actress?
Oh, Elizabeth Shue.
Elizabeth Shue?
She's gorgeous.
Okay. If Elizabeth, and she's a good actress, great actress?
I would say she's good, yes.
She's good? If Elizabeth Shue walked up to you, and do you think that she could make you believe that she thought you were the best, the most handsome person?
I sure hope so.
She ever met?
Yeah, I'll assume that she could do that.
Yeah, I mean, that's because she's, well, not that you're not the most handsome person ever, whatever.
Thank you.
You have to check out the Annie Fry YouTube channel to find out.
Please do.
People who are good at their craft can make you believe anything. And politicians, good politicians, have to have the ability to make you believe something or believe in something. And Donald Trump is not a politician. Yes, he's become a politician, but that's not where he comes from. He hasn't adapted the super polished Barack Obama, Governor Shapiro type of delivery that makes people feel comfortable. Like, if the world is falling down outside of you, or if you're in the middle, let's just make it more simple. If you're in the middle of a storm and you know there are tornadoes all around you, you could be tucked into bed. You ever tuck your kid into bed when the storms are happening and you're like, everything's fine, everything's okay. You tuck them in and you like give them all of the benefit of the doubt that everything is going to be fine. But then you go back and you make sure you watch the radar for like the next 4 hours.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of Americans just want to be tucked into bed. And a lot of other Americans right now are going, it's an F5 and it's coming right at us. We got to pay attention. We've got to prepare for this. We've got to do something about this to make sure that we make it through this. And Donald Trump is willing to talk about the F5 that's headed right at us instead of tucking you in and, you know, turning on some light music, kissing you on your forehead and saying everything's going to be OK. And it's not as fun when you're the person on the other end of that. It's not as fun to hear, holy crap, we got to get to the basement and hunker down. It's coming right at us. It feels better to be tucked in, but we know how that can end. Let's take a quick break. We appreciate you sticking with us through that Trump presser. It was an hour long. We carried it and hope you're able to enjoy listening to that as Donald Trump took questions at Mar-a-Lago. We'll be back after this. Don't go away. Back to the Annie Fry Show. Donald Trump just talked for an hour straight. And he did it without teleprompters. He didn't make some notes. He might have had some notes for his original 8 or 10 minutes or so of commentary. And then he took question after question after question. And they were good questions. And some of them were maybe leading questions. And I thought, was there a single time where it was like, what is he doing?
Like a journalist?
No.
Or what is Trump doing?
Yeah.
No, he gave a couple of talking points to the left that I guarantee tomorrow or tonight you're going to see
what?
A couple of headlines like, oh, he says that dictators like him because he said things were better under his tenure.
We said off the air when he's talking about Kim Jong-un, I said, I wish instead of saying like, he would say what he means, which is that Kim Jong-un respected him.
Yeah.
Because that's what he means.
Yes.
He's not wearing BFF bracelets with Kim Jong-un, I don't think.
No, and I don't think anybody looking at his 4 years would go, oh, man, he just loves North Korea. He wants us to be like North Korea.
Not at all.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah. And watching Donald Trump move about the world and be in control of every situation he's in, we could use some of that. Joe Biden is in Delaware on the beach somewhere right now, or at least on his way. The YouTube live chat poll for today. Does Tim Walz, he's the governor of Minnesota and the VP candidate on Kamala Harris's presidential ticket. Does Tim Walz represent Midwest values to you? Yes or no? I wanted to play this clip from the media. This is a montage that Outnumbered put together today.
All American definition of a man from middle America, high school teacher, football coach.
He has this folksy, personal, informal vibe that has really appealed to a lot of Democrats.
He's a kind of a folksy guy, very friendly, nice guy.
They're totally approachable. You get the feeling that he's got plenty of neighbors that wear MAGA hats, and he picks up their paper and brings it to their front door, and they're his friends.
Walls has an ability to be, I know one person said, cuddly.
His star rising in Democratic circles in recent days after he coined a new line of attack against Republicans.
They've got a guy here who is from like central casting, like he drops out of a Norman Rockwell painting, right? He's small town America incarnate.
That pairing is actually quite magical.
One of his friends told me this morning that his superpower is how normal he is.
I can't,
Larry, I want to
get over how they look at Midwesterners.
Thank you.
Everything is about his Midwesternness. That's how they're summarizing it. And I wrote down these words, and folksy. These are some of the things in that little montage that Fox News put together on Outnumbered that identified him as a reason why he's accessible and a good person on the ticket, really to counterbalance everything that Kamala Harris is. And it's funny to me when you put it that way, because it's like, could you just describe what you think Kamala Harris is compared to what you think the Midwest is? Let's start here. Teachery.
Ooh.
Coach. Football coach. That's an important one. So these are Midwestern values to them. Folksy. Friendly, nice, approachable, out of a Norman Rockwell painting, cuddly. And all of this is to summarize in the word normal. Now, it's very important that you understand what is the opposite of normal.
Oh, I thought that was rhetorical.
No, I'm asking you.
What is the opposite of normal? If he's the guy who likes his neighbor, it would be the people who hate their neighbor based on their politics.
No, what is the opposite of normal?
Weird.
Thank you.
Oh, okay. I see now.
So you see what they're doing here. And then the laying the groundwork of saying that one side is weird, one side is normal. You're supposed to look at Tim Walz and see yourself in it, normal America, flyover country. There are a few places that would probably enjoy seeing somebody who they can see themselves in, and maybe that might be Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania, all of these places in the northern, what do they call that, the Rust Belt. I guess Wisconsin is somewhat Midwest. I think of them as being northern. I don't know. I know Wisconsinites who do consider themselves to be Midwestern, but they also kind of clarify that. The idea that Midwest is normal is an interesting thing to apply to Tim Walz when you labeled J.D. Vance from Ohio, and the word you used to summarize, which actually came from Tim Walz to begin with, is weird. So the question today is, does Tim Walz represent Midwest values to you? Because I believe that being from the Midwest should say something more than just, I mean, some of these people are even saying it out loud. Old white guy football coach. I wonder if there are any non-old white guys from the Midwest who are looking at Tim Walz going, you don't represent me at all. And for the people on the outside coast, the ones who have never actually met a Midwesterner in person, if they understand that applying Tim Walz's personality as a representation of everybody in the Midwest, it's pretty obnoxious and ridiculous.
Yeah, I saw a lot of the news stations running with a picture of, and it's a montage of pictures, but the one they land on, they keep coming back to, is a picture of him just smiling real big. He's wearing flannel, and he's cradling a baby pig.
Is it a pig or is it a butter pig?
I have no idea.
What the hell is the butter thing? The butter sculpture stuff? Have you heard him talk about that?
No.
One of his hobbies is butter sculpting, which again is attributed to his Midwesternness.
Okay.
What can you sculpt out of butter, Ryan?
Toast? I can sculpt smaller looking butter.
Yeah.
Out of butter. So it'll look kind of whittled down, but it'd still be butter.
How do you like the thought of cuddly being in there? Does Tim Walz look cuddly to you?
Cuddly is a weird one. Your list was pretty good, but you missed magical on there. Magical was in there too. And I thought magical and cuddly. They're really reaching here. And it's exactly what you said, that these are people who are not Midwesterners looking at the Midwest and going, now there's a caricature that we can run with.
That they're trying to project. Yeah. And the most insulting thing about this is absolutely the most insulting thing, that they're going to run through and say, like, how folksy, friendly, nice, and approachable he is, and super cuddly, just like he's outside of a Norman Rockwell painting, totally normal, that you and I'll go, oh, just like them.
Mm-hmm.
It's like Puss in Boots from Shrek. They're like, are they talking about us? Us in the Midwest? They usually don't even pay attention to the fact that we exist. But they're talking. We're seen. We've been seen. This feels so good.
Yeah.
No. Tim Walz is like borderline, if not socialist, in his ideals and his desires and goals. Hard pass.
Well, and it's what you said yesterday. Because I've seen, you know, the minute they announced him, the RNC and whoever had a bunch of clips ready of him saying things like, well, one person's socialism is the other person's neighborliness and stuff like that. Those are clips that, to me, do say something, but they're also just a clip. Does that mean policy? But yesterday, the policy that I heard based on the nickname that will not go away out of my mind, and I bet a lot of people's, is the tampon thing. If this guy, his priority as governor of Minnesota, not California, of Minnesota, was to push tampons into men's rooms, then you know basically everything you know need to know about his policies.
G-Wibs messaged a little bit earlier on this issue and said, Mommy, the Midwesterner followed me home. Can I keep it?
I was. Even when you were saying that, I'm picturing, you know how the little cartoons, they'll be like real rabid in one, and then they'll turn a different angle, and they'll have the big cartoon eyes that are kind of watery.
Yeah.
I was picturing, well, that's what they're doing to Tim Walz.
Yes.
They're making him have cartoon eyes.
And that's not who he is at all. I asked earlier, like, what do you consider to be Midwestern values? Which is kind of important to define that before you ask if Tim Walz represents Midwestern values, which is what the poll question today is. Amanda said, God, family, country, loyalty, honesty. I think that sums it up. I also don't think that is, I mean, it may feel that way. It feels that way to me because I feel like the Republican side or the right side, conservative side of the aisle respects those things. But I think that there are people on the left in the Midwest who believe that voting blue is also supportive of their version of God, family, country, loyalty, honestly. So I don't think that when you list those things, I don't think that it's particularly listed in a way that is like, oh, we're just Republicans in red states. If you ever look at a map of, you know, you can see the red states and the blue states on a 270 to win map or whatever. But if you ever look at a county map, the amount of blue areas in this country are teeny tiny, but they have tons and tons of people. Mm-hmm. 62 or 63% of the population of the state of Illinois is in Cook County. And when people are always pointing to, and rightfully so, that the politics of the state of Illinois go the way of Chicago, well, they do have the most people. So if all of those people were spread out all throughout the state and still voting the way you did, it wouldn't, the politics would still shake out the same. But you got to figure out what issues can tap into. This is something that I think it was Dori Murdoch said on her show a month or two ago. It's not about going out and winning the majority of the black vote, but Republicans have to stop thinking that it's not worth trying to get 20% instead of 10% or 25% instead of 15%. My thought that in Chicago or in St. Louis, that there are people looking right now at the state of affairs in the United States going, this isn't really great. This is difficult to afford. I don't really feel safe. You think people in Chicago right now feel safer under Brandon Johnson's mayoralship? Is that a word?
It is now.
Mayoralty.
I like mayoralty.
I bet the Democrats do, too.
Yeah, that's
sounds
good.
Like royalty. I don't think that they feel comfortable that way. I bet there are a lot of people who maybe don't vote for the Democrat on the ticket. That doesn't mean that they're going to show up and vote for the alternative. That doesn't mean they're going to be comfortable casting a ballot for a Republican, and Republicans have to show up and offer to them an alternative that they can vote for, not just against somebody. And to me, when Donald Trump shows up and starts doing press conferences like this, where he The only time I would say he even sort of got hostile is when, and I didn't hear the wording on the question specifically, but the question was something related to Kamala Harris's rally that she just had. It had a ton of people there. Bon Iver, I don't even know if I'm saying that correctly, did a concert at the Kamala Harris rally. I would like to see Kamala Harris draw huge numbers without any other act, because she's not even the main act at the rallies that she's at, and she wants to be the president. They show the crowd, and then everyone's like, she's drawing huge numbers. There's so much excitement. Yes, for Megan Thee Stallion, who goes up on there on the stage, and she does her Megan Thee Stallion thing, and people love it. She's very popular. Do that without the catch, and then I would be a little more concerned about it. I don't know how concerned I am about it right now. And I actually wonder, like, how many people will show up and watch the concerts that feature Kamala Harris. How many of those people, like, you would assume that everybody who goes to a Trump rally is voting Donald Trump.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you?
Yeah, unless you're there to do opposition research, yeah.
99% of the people who are going and are in the crowd, maybe not the media, whatever, are going to vote for Donald Trump. But if you're going to... You know, if you were going to a Donald Trump rally and Kid Rock was playing, that's the best example I have off the top of my head. There might be some people there who are not going to vote for Donald Trump, or maybe just not vote. But I would imagine that if you have Megan Thee Stallion, or I don't know anything about this Bon Iver guy, that was his hometown. That's like where he's from.
Yeah, and he's
pretty
big.
That'd be like REM coming to St. Louis to do a concert, and a politician hooks themselves to that concert. Aren't they from St. Louis? Aren't they?
Well, Michael Stipe was from Collinsville. Yeah.
Collinsville.
Yeah.
Okay. So, but I mean, like, okay, so they go to Collinsville and they do a concert there. I mean, people would show up for that.
Yeah, absolutely. And Bon Iver, I looked him up because, again, I didn't know who he was either. Or they. He or they. I mean, I don't even know. Big on YouTube.
Pronouns.
I mean, has a I'm just trying to be careful. So I don't know how he'd identify.
Be respectful.
But pretty big on YouTube. You know, thousands and thousands, you know, multiple, almost a million followers or something like that. Multiple millions on the videos. So even if they're not the biggest name, if you have a big name like that play in your hometown in a big rally, you're going to pull a crowd for sure.
Yeah. And I mean, I'm not even opposed to Kamala Harris doing it. I think smart politics.
Yeah.
But let's not pretend that it's apples to apples, that the Trump rally and the Kamala rally attendance is equal. It does. I'm not saying that it doesn't matter that that many people showed up, but it's not the same as Donald Trump showing up with his traditional cast of characters who are all there for Trump. Trump is the main show. I've been to one Trump rally and one Trump appearance, because I was at the Granite City Steel one in 2018. I don't remember. Mm-hmm. 2017. I don't know. It's different. It's not the same. The enthusiasm, and this is something that Tammy Bruce went in on hard yesterday, the enthusiasm threat that is coming from leftist talking points about the excitement around Kamala Harris is manufactured. That doesn't mean that she cannot win. But there is a lot of hype going around Kamala Harris that is cooked. So
that's 100% true. And look, maybe she does tomorrow hold a rally and gets big numbers and doesn't have a big artist playing. That's entirely possible.
Sure.
Trump has been doing these rallies for 9 years, and he's still drawing those crowds.
Huge.
So if she can sustain, I mean, she has to sustain this for 2 months, 3 months. He's been doing it for almost a decade. That does matter. The enthusiasm does matter. So could she pull it off? Absolutely. But he's got this thing long term.
Does Tim Walz represent Midwest values to you? Yes or no? We'll get Brad and Ryan my thoughts on this next, and yours in the results of today's poll. Stick around. More Annie Fry Show after this. Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. We're asking you today, does Tim Walz represent Midwest values to you? Over and over and over again, we're finding out how much the folks in the media love them some Tim Walz, because they literally called him cuddly.
Yeah, they did. They did. And magical.
he's like a troll or something.
Yeah. Can't get over his bridge without paying a toll.
That's actually probably accurate.
Yeah, it probably is.
And the bridge is just life. It's just whatever you're doing in life. What do you think? Does he represent Midwest values to you?
Tell you what, Annie. Most of the time when I come in for the YouTube live chat poll of the day, I go, darn it, that's a pretty good question. I got a tough time answering that one.
This one was
one of the easiest ones that I've had in a while. No, don't think Tim Walz represents Midwest values. And I happen to be from the Midwest, so I would know.
Yeah, like Collinsville.
Yeah, and it don't get more Midwest than Collinsville, other than the fact that it's in Illinois. Sorry about that.
Illinois is Midwest. What else would it be?
I know, but it's just, it's Illinois is like the sore thumb of the Midwest.
Why?
Because we're so blue.
Illinois is a fantastic state. The politicians
it's Cook
just,
County.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
So put it on them.
I am.
Not on the state.
I love my state.
What do they say?
Put some respect on that name.
I hate it when people say that. What are the, when you say no, he doesn't represent Midwest values, what is it about him that you feel is an affront to mid, when you hear that?
Well, there's a kind of, what's the word I'm looking for? Because it's a popular American phrase, rugged individualism.
I thought you'd say je ne sais quoi.
There's a certain je ne sais quoi to
you know
the Midwest.
That popular American phrase.
You get in the Midwest and you go straight north until you get to Quebec. And then you go, what is je ne sais quoi?
He just keeps saying that over and again.
They're like, oh, okay. You must be one of us.
You must be American.
It is a kind of a rugged individualism is the phrase that I was looking for, because the Midwest, and I would say even the West, not the coastal West, but the middle part of the country, exemplifies that. And we get what the Constitution was for. We get what America was founded on, I think, in a stronger way than the coasts do at this point, because the coasts are trying to remake America. The middle of America is not. The middle of America likes what America is.
And wants to get back to it.
And wants to get back to it.
Almost, they just want to make it great again.
Yeah, they want to make it great again.
Mm-hmm.
Mega.
Brad, what about you?
No, he doesn't represent Midwestern values at all. That montage that you played to the media, not one thing that they mentioned in there was actually a value, let alone a Midwestern value. What they are calling Midwestern values are Midwestern characteristics, but they're caricaturistics. They're not actually things. It's like, hey, if I were the line about him falling right out of central casting, I'm like, okay, Axelrod's about on the nose right there.
Yeah.
If I were to cast whatever it was to be, quote unquote, a Midwesterner, based on what the coasts would understand what a Midwesterner is, well, yeah, then Tim Walz is definitely that. But no, he doesn't respect family, because he's signed executive orders saying that he would take your kid away from you if you didn't allow your kid to change their gender. He signed, made basically Minnesota a sanctuary state for gender transitioning. So he doesn't respect, you know, the fact that people are people and they grow up a certain way, and no matter how they feel, they are certain things. He doesn't respect private property. He thinks that you, if you are upset about something, you can go burn down other people's stuff and destroy other people's stuff. That's not Midwest. That's the exact opposite of what Midwestern values are. Midwesterners have a respect for their neighbor and a respect for their neighbor's property. You know, there's like this idea, if I borrow your truck to help me move or whatever, then I give you gas money or I fill your tank up and I make sure that I returned it in better condition than whatever I received it in. It's a respect for that neighbor's
this
property.
This feels like a personal shot at me for when I borrowed your truck.
Listen, it was okay. Just that one time, and I'll let it slide, okay. Because that's also a Midwestern value.
Blast you on the radio about it.
Yeah, indirectly.
How long ago was this?
Oh, within the last year.
Okay. So it's not something he's listening
on. It's fresh.
To.
It's fresh.
That's actually not real, but one of the things he did do was I picked him up one time when it was snowing because he didn't want to drive in it or whatever, and I had some snow stuck in my tires and there was a vibration. And
that's
he
the most beta thing I've ever heard.
He complained about the free ride.
I picked him up because it was snowing and he didn't want to drive in it.
I was standing in my front yard wearing a full snowsuit and my arms were out, and I was like, help.
I just threw him in the back of the truck.
Okay, rank them from least to most cuddly. Walz, Harris, Vance, Trump.
Least cuddly?
To most cuddly.
Oh, man.
Ryan, you go first.
I hate everything about this.
Least cuddly, man, it's a tie between Trump and Harris. Neither one of them are cuddly. Donald Trump is not a cuddly guy, and he doesn't want to be. Kamala Harris does want to be and isn't. Then you got J.D. Vance and Tim Walz.
Hey, this is their word for Tim Walz, so I'm just saying we got a, you know, fair and balanced reporting here.
J.D. Vance is also not cuddly. So between all of them,
I guess
I'm going to give Walz the cuddle champion.
Is it weirder to think of them as cuddly if you're like thinking they're kind of into it?
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
I'm going to heartily disagree with you. Mm-hmm. I think Trump is very cuddly.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Explain.
Yeah, you ever see him having fun?
Yeah, but that's not cuddly. You know, on the golf course having fun. I don't picture that as cuddly.
You don't think he's putting his arm around guy, like, and, you know, giving him the little noogie on the head, okay, like that
so
type of stuff?
Here's where we can step in as guys and say, yeah, you can be having fun with a guy. You can be, like, kind of punching him a little bit. Not cuddly. And you wouldn't even want to be called cuddly.
It's the same thing.
Mm.
It's the same thing.
Ryan, she's right.
Dang it, you're a guy.
You don't even drive in the snow. Don't be like us guys. I drive in
really
the snow.
It was a really bad snow.
Brad and I, us
guys. He's got
guys.
A big truck, and yeah. I had the little car that day.
Which one?
The little one.
The little Versa?
No.
It was a Nissan Leaf.
It was not. It was a Mazda 5.
It was out of charge, wasn't it?
And it sits real low to the ground. Because I was nice, and
so
I let my wife
ego.
Take the good car.
Yeah, that's good. You could have
right?
You could have driven her.
I could. I don't remember the circumstance.
You could ask Brad to drive her so she was safe.
That's really treading into my territory now. if I said, honey, I cannot take you to work, but you know who can? Brad. Now
I just want what's best for you.
I'm now going to rent a car before I do that.
What are you renting?
Probably another
like
Mazda 5.
Like a Hummer?
Ah, yeah, oh, dang it. What was I thinking? I just know that car so well.
So rank them. Cuddly?
I just did.
No, you didn't. You just said yeah. that Walls was cuddly and nobody else was.
He's the most of the four.
Well, of so basically this entire show, I've been trashing them for how they consider Midwesterners. And at the end, you're like, he's pretty cuddly.
Well, look, there's a line of cuddly. None of them achieve it. So if it's pole vaulting, the line is like halfway up, and you don't really even have to pole vault that well to get over it. None of them are getting over it.
Least cuddly, Harris. Mm-hmm. Then probably Vance, because he just looks completely disinterested. And then Walls, because he wants it.
Ooh.
And Trump is the most you, yes or no. We'll get Brad and Ryan and my thoughts on this next, and yours in the results of today's poll. Stick around. More Annie Fry Show after this. Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. We're asking you today, does Tim Walz represent Midwest values to you? Over and over and over again, we're finding out how much the folks in the media love them some Tim Walz because they literally called him cuddly.
Yeah, they did. They did. And magical.
He's like a troll or something.
Yeah. Can't get over his bridge without paying a toll.
That's actually probably accurate.
Yeah, it probably is.
And the bridge is just life. It's just whatever you're doing in life. What do you think? Does he represent Midwest values to you?
Tell you what, Annie. Most of the time when I come in for the YouTube live chat poll of the day, I go, darn it, that's a pretty good question. I got a tough time answering that one.
This one
one of the easiest ones that I've had in a while. No, I don't think Tim Walz represents Midwest values. And I happen to be from the Midwest, so I would know.
Yeah, like Collinsville.
Yeah, and it don't get more Midwest than Collinsville, other than the fact that it's in Illinois. Sorry about that.
Illinois is Midwest. What else would it be?
I know, but it's Illinois is like the sore thumb of the Midwest.
Why?
Because we're so blue.
Illinois is a fantastic state. The politicians
it's Cook
just,
County.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
So put it on them.
I am.
Not on the state.
I love my state.
What do they say?
Put some respect on that name.
I hate it when people say that. What are the, when you say no, he doesn't represent Midwest values, what is it about him that you feel is an affront to mid, when you hear that?
Well, there's a kind of, what's the word I'm looking for? Because it's a popular American phrase, rugged individualism.
I thought you'd say je ne sais quoi.
There's a certain je ne sais quoi to
you know
the Midwest.
Popular American
you know?
Phrase.
You get in the Midwest and you go straight north until you get to Quebec. And then you go, je ne sais quoi.
He just keeps saying that over yeah. and over again.
They're like, oh, okay. You must be one of us.
You must be American. Yeah.
It is a kind of a rugged individualism is the phrase that I was looking for because the Midwest and I would say even the West, not the coastal West, but the middle part of the country, exemplifies that. And we get what the Constitution was for. We get what America was founded on, I think, in a stronger way than the coasts do at this point, because the coasts are trying to remake America. The middle of America is not. The middle of America likes what America is.
And wants to get back to it.
And wants to get back to it.
Almost, they just want to make it great again.
Yeah, they want to make it great again.
Mm-hmm.
Mega.
Brad, what about you?
No, he doesn't represent Midwestern values at all. That montage that you play to the media, not one thing that they mentioned in there was actually a value, let alone a Midwestern value. What they are calling Midwestern values are Midwestern caricaturistics, but they're caricaturistics. They're not actually things. It's like, hey, if I were the line about him falling right out of central casting, I'm like, okay, Axelrod's about on the nose right there.
Yeah.
If I were to cast whatever it was to be, quote unquote, a Midwesterner based on what the coasts would understand what a Midwesterner is, well, yeah, then Tim Walz is definitely that. But no, he doesn't have. He doesn't respect family because he's signed executive order saying that he would take your kid away from you if you didn't allow your kid to change their gender. He signed, made basically Minnesota a sanctuary state for gender transitioning. So he doesn't respect, you know, the fact that people are people and they grow up a certain way. And no matter how they feel, they are certain things. He doesn't respect private property. He thinks that you, if you are upset about something, you can go burn down other people's stuff and destroy other people's stuff. That's not Midwest. That's the exact opposite of what Midwestern values are. Midwesterners have a respect for their neighbor and a respect for their neighbor's property. You know, there's like this idea, if I borrow your truck to help me move or whatever, then I give you gas money or I fill your tank up and I make sure that I returned it in better condition than whatever I received it in. It's a respect for that neighbor's
this
property.
This feels like a personal shot at me for when I borrowed your truck.
Listen, it was okay. Just that one time and I'll let it slide because that's also a Midwestern value.
Blast you on the radio about it.
Yeah, how indirectly.
How long ago was this?
Oh, within the last year.
Okay. So it's not something he's listening
on to. It's fresh.
That's actually not real, but one of the things he did do was I picked him up one time when it was snowing because he didn't want to drive in it or whatever, and I had some snow stuck in my tires and there was a vibration. And
that's
he
the most beta thing I've ever heard.
He complained about the free ride.
I picked him up because it was snowing and he didn't want to drive in it.
I was standing in my front yard wearing a full snowsuit and my arms were out, and I was like, help.
I just threw him in the back of the truck.
Okay, rank them from least to most cuddly. Walz, Harris, Vance, Trump.
Least cuddly?
To most cuddly.
Oh, man.
Ryan, you go first.
I hate everything about this.
Least cuddly, man, it's a tie between Trump and Harris. Neither one of them are cuddly. Donald Trump is not a cuddly guy, and he doesn't want to be. Kamala Harris does want to be and isn't. Then you got J.D. Vance and Tim Walz.
Hey, this is their word for Tim Walz. So I'm just saying we got a, you know, fair and balanced reporting here.
J.D. Vance is also not cuddly. So between all of them,
I guess
I'm going to give Walz the cuddle champion.
Is it weirder to think of them as cuddly if you're like thinking they're kind of into it?
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
I'm going to heartily disagree with you. Mm-hmm. I think Trump is very cuddly.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Explain.
Yeah, you ever see him having fun?
Yeah, but that's not cuddly. You know, on the golf course having fun. I don't picture that as cuddly.
You don't think he's putting his arm around guy like and you know, giving him the little noogie on the head, okay, like that
so
type of stuff?
Here's where we can step in as guys and say, yeah, you can be having fun with a guy, you can be like kind of punching him a little bit. Not cuddly. And you wouldn't even want to be called cuddly.
It's the same thing.
Mm.
It's the same thing.
Ryan, she's right.
Dang it, you're a guy.
You don't even drive in the snow. Don't be like us guys.
It was a really bad snow.
Brad and I, us guys.
He's got a big truck, yeah. And I had the little car that day.
Which one?
The little one.
The little Versa?
No.
It was a Nissan Leaf.
It was not. It was a Mazda 5.
It was out of charge, wasn't it?
And it sits real low to the ground. Because I was nice, and
so
I let my wife
ego.
Take the good car.
Yeah, that's good. You could have
right?
You could have driven her.
I could. I don't remember the circumstance.
You could ask Brad to drive her so she was safe.
That's really treading into my territory now. if I said, honey, I cannot take you to work, but you know who can? Brad.
I want what's best for you.
I'm now going to rent a car before I do that.
What are you renting?
Probably another
like
Mazda 5.
Like a Hummer?
Yeah, but, oh, dang it. What was I thinking? I just know that car so well.
So rank them. Cuddly?
I just did.
No, you didn't. You just said that Walz was cuddly and nobody else was.
He's the most of the four.
Well, of So basically, this entire show, I've been trashing them for how they consider Midwesterners. And at the end, you're like, he's pretty cuddly.
Well, there's a line of cuddly. None of them achieve it. So if it's pole vaulting, the line is like halfway up, and you don't really even have to pole vault that well to get over it. None of them are getting over it.
Least cuddly, Harris. Mm-hmm. Then probably Vance, because he just looks completely disinterested. And then Walls, because he wants it.
Ooh.
And Trump is the most cuddly.
Okay. I would agree with that. That's my thoughts exactly, actually.
The YouTube live chat poll, does Tim Walls represent Midwest values to you? This is all part of the unveiling of Tim Walls. He is getting raked over the coals for his, you know, air quotes, stolen valor thing. Yesterday, I was watching The Five. Jessica Tarloff goes, if we're going to talk about people in their service, I just want to point out that J.D. Vance, he did serve in the Marines, but he was in PR. And he was a combat correspondent in Iraq as a United States Marine. And she threw that out there. Like, that was an equivalent of Tim Walls, who found out that his company was deploying to Iraq and decided to be like, nah. That's unreal. These people have no standards.
Yeah, this is another one that I'm like, you guys, why don't you just sit there? Keep bringing that one up. I think you're doing the wrong thing,
man.
Politically speaking.
I think I see a lot of people criticizing Donald Trump for not doing enough and saying enough and being out there enough right now. Not necessarily in person like he was today, but in advertising, in just commercials and social media stuff. I really think they are trying to let, you know, like when you wring out a rag and you're trying to get all the water out, and you just keep wringing it out and eventually nothing else comes out of it, but it's still a little wet. I think they're trying to get the Harris ticket to get everything that they want to showcase and champion out at one time. Instead of feeding into it, let them have the whole thing and spew all of it out at one time. And when they're done with that, they'll come in, especially like you said today in that press conference, after the convention and start hitting it hard. Does Tim Walls represent Midwest values to you? Over 300 votes today. 77% of you said nope. And I am with the nose habit today. All right, stick around. You got Mark Reardon coming up next. If you want to listen to that press conference again, we'll have it on the Annie Fry Show podcast as well as the rest of the show. Appreciate you being here with us. Mark Reardon on 97.1 FM Talk next.